So on today's podcast episode, we are going to talk about...
Oh, is that my cue?
That's your cue.
Oh, okay. Well, I had brought up that I think it would be good to talk through self-talk and what that means and all of that. Does that sound okay?
Sounds great.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome to the With Counseling Podcast. I'm JJ Blandford, founder and therapist at With Counseling.
So I guess the other day I was kind of thinking about just the way we talk to ourselves. I don't know that we always realize we're talking to ourselves. We don't think about it.
I would like to affirm that statement.
Okay, yeah. And so I think it's easy to get into a system or easy to get into a pattern of negative self-talk without even realizing that you're doing it. And that negative self-talk to me seems to like build on itself. And, you know, if you're talking negatively about yourself long enough to yourself, I think it could lead to some real pretty serious issues. Would you agree with that as well?
I completely agree. And I feel like I love that you are thinking about this and brought this up because I think it's an incredibly real thing. Negative self-talk and the long-term impact that it has on people is significant.
Yeah. And to not even realize that it's happening, I think, is even more kind of devious or something we don't even realize.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do we think, why do we self-talk? Or, I mean, does everybody self-talk?
I would say most people, I mean, I have not, you know.
You've not talked to literally everybody.
Every person, yeah, yes.
Fair,
and
fair.
I think most people have self-talk and, again, wouldn't even realize that they're engaging in positive or negative self-talk.
Right.
And so often when I'm doing therapeutic work with people, the first step is noticing.
Okay.
Seems like that's a theme.
Yeah. Noticing.
Oftentimes noticing.
Well, it's like, I guess noticing and this concept of maybe we've talked about even rest. Like, it's hard to notice things if you never stop.
Yes.
And most of us just never stop.
Yes.
And we've always got something. I know for me, like, it's easy to have something always going on in my ear. I'm listening to a podcast at all times. It's just, it's hard to stop. And I think stopping leads to noticing. But if you're not stopping, you're never noticing.
Yes.
Right.
Such a great point. I think there are such significant ways to even start giving yourself space.
Right.
So I, for instance, I'm on a reading kick. I didn't read through most of the pandemic,
right,
and I am back to reading a lot.
Yeah.
And I realized that if I listen to audiobooks, which I believe counts towards my books of the year.
100% it does. Can't affirm.
That I could be adding to that number.
Yeah.
And so in the mornings, while I was making lunches and breakfast, while I was cooking dinner, I had something in my ear all the time.
Right.
For me,
yeah,
I have stopped that practice because it was not actually beneficial to me.
Yeah.
I could not engage. Something about, I mean, we live in an open concept house. When I am in the kitchen, our children talk to me a lot.
Well, and they like literally need something at all times, it seems like.
Yes. And so for me, giving myself some space meant I no longer listen. And that was a pattern that I'd picked up and realized didn't work for me. Now, when I'm making dinner, am I having deep thoughts about how am I talking to myself? No.
No, right.
And it is, for me, giving me space to process. I held heavy things today.
Yeah.
I walked through stuff with my clients. And if I'm not creating that space for myself, there is no space for reflection, opportunity to change. And so I think sometimes it's giving ourselves a little bit of silence.
Yeah.
Which I think we envision like monks in a monastery somewhere.
Yeah.
And like for most of us, that is not reality.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm creating silence by doing household tasks without music on or thing like earbuds in.
But aren't we scared of silence sometimes? I feel like maybe this is just me, but like, I don't know, silence can feel scary.
Yes. And if we're not creating that space, we're not going to give ourselves opportunity for reflection.
Maybe that's what we're just running from. You know, I think some of it is that we're running from reflection, you know, that we don't want to kind of process some of these things. So we just fill it with noise all the time and never stop and therefore never notice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think part of this work of noticing is like, I've said this before on the podcast and lots of other places. Do you talk to yourself the way that you would a friend? So when you forget to send the field trip signed thing, what is that called? Permission slip. Yeah. When you forget that, is your language, what is wrong with you?
Right.
Why can't you get it together? Why can't you remember? If your best friend said, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I forgot to turn in the permission slip, you wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, you're a terrible parent. What's your problem?
Well, if you do that, you don't have friends for very long, right?
Truth.
Yes.
And so sometimes it is this, like, again, a great part of therapy is as someone is telling me about themselves, I get to start picking up on like, oh gosh, when you're talking about yourself, your body language shifts, your tone changes. There is a harshness to your voice that doesn't exist when you're talking about other people.
Yeah, because it's easy to be hard on ourselves, right? Or maybe we've even gotten into patterns of like, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a family culture, right? Where like, that's how our family talked to us. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way we know to talk to ourselves, right? But it's all these like, it's all these places where we don't really have, it's not like we came up with this stuff on our own, right?
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes it's like you read my mind and it's so lovely. Because earlier you ask, where does this come from? Yeah. And so often, you know, I talk about narrative work with my clients of where did this story of how you view yourself start? And again, that is where the reflection piece is important.
Gracious. It could be, I mean, that's a whole rabbit hole in and of itself. Like, how did you come to believe the things about yourself that you believe?
Whoa. And so usually this is reflective work outside of session. You know, sometimes people can immediately say, I can tell you, I was on the football field. This coach came and said something or my parent said this thing that was flippant probably to the parent.
Right.
And I internalized that. And so, right, as in most things with therapy, people want to come in with a problem.
Yep.
Like the doctor's office. They want to come in with a problem. They want me to give a solution and they want to feel better.
Yeah.
And the hard work to me of therapy is something like self-talk is so ingrained in who we are and how we operate that there is often work that needs to be done and sometimes significant work about, you know, how long this has existed. You know, if you were in your 40s and this started at 6, it's going to take us some time to unravel.
It's like a rut, right? In a road.
Yes.
Like you've been, it's a well-worn path. You've been down this 1,000 times and it is almost impossible just through sheer will to just like pull yourself out of that rut.
Yes. Yeah. Also, like, I think once you start on this path, you want to, once you're out of the rut, never return.
Right.
And if you're on the grass next to the rut, it is very easy to fall back into the rut.
That's right.
And so I often talk to people when we're doing therapeutic work of like, this growth that you were talking about today is fantastic, and I want to affirm the growth. I also want to be full of grace and compassion that if you misstep back into the rut, all is not lost.
Yeah.
We just work to move you back to that new path that we're trying to create.
Yeah, you're having to build a new path altogether.
And if you're self-narrative is shame and guilt. I mean, people will show up like apologetic to me for their behavior outside of session of I returned to a behavior, and I am always so conscientious of like, please, please do not allow me to add to your shame. Right. Like, I am here to support you and walk alongside you. And never is my expectation perfection.
Yeah.
And especially if you had authority figures in your life who you felt demanded perfection.
Yep.
And you show up to therapy. I literally have had more than one client who said, I really wish you were meaner to me. Not actually,
but
I would know what to do with you if you were angry. And when I just get to show up and say, like, I was really terrible to myself this week. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
It feels really uncomfortable. So I'd almost prefer if you yelled at me for, you know, my misdeeds.
Yeah.
And so I think those are the times that we really start to realize how deeply ingrained this narrative, this self-talk is.
Yeah. I think I want to take just a quick aside. I know this is sort of your thing, but I'm getting to run it a little bit today. A quick soapbox of mine is you need to be very careful how you talk to and about your children if you have children.
Say more.
Well, because you're setting up the way that they think about themselves. You're crafting their identities, and they will rise to the level that you set for them, right? So if you're constantly demeaning, even if you're being, you think you're being funny, right? If you're constantly demeaning, or put it, even if it's in jest, like pushing them down and never sort of like lifting them up, you're setting up patterns of like negative self-talk for these people. If your parenting involves a lot of shaming, you're setting up shameful practices. If you're about perfection, you are setting up perfectionistic tendencies for your children. So the way that you think about and talk about your kids sets them up for how they view themselves for the rest of their lives. And we as parents many times are just way too flippant with the way that we talk to our children.
Yes.
Soapbox over maybe there, but.
No, I do think that, and even things that we phrase as funny as like, oh, they're the wild one.
Yeah.
They're the, like, kids internalize that.
Totally.
I was going to say I'm shocked. I'm not shocked. So many clients come with this belief about themselves that was told to them as a child.
Yeah.
And even if it didn't resonate with how they viewed themselves, it was such a part of family culture. They felt the need to lean into that.
Yep.
So that they, quote unquote, fit in their family.
Yeah.
And so I think there is a lot. Yes, I think how we talk to our kids really matters.
Yeah. And not that we have to be like on eggshells at all times, but how much time are you spending like lifting your child up or telling them how great they are or the good things that they do? How much are you kind of catching them doing good, you know, as opposed to just catching them doing bad? Sorry, I guess my soapbox wasn't over apparently, but I just think those are such important things. So even if there could be jesting and you can kid with our kids all the time. It's who I am in so many ways. Yeah. And if you're not practicing lifting them up at the same time, you can set up really negative habits and self-talk, identity about themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think, right, this idea of like noticing our narrative, evaluating our narrative, and then what do we do with it?
Yeah.
To me, at like the most basic place is acknowledging what are the lies that I'm believing about myself and where is my truth? And not in a like totally like woo-woo way, but when... Yeah. Okay, it's one thing, right? We start noticing negative self-talk, but what do we do with it?
What do you replace that with?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so to just say, no more negative self-talk.
Right.
Isn't going to work.
Right.
And so how do you shift your language to yourself? So oftentimes I will have people think about what is one thing you believe about yourself? And when that negative voice comes in, you just over and over and over again, you again, in creating that new pathway, you need to use your voice.
Mm.
Because even, right, someone
it can't be you. It can't be external.
And my hope is that, yeah, yes, I am part of the scaffolding. Hopefully you have,
yeah,
friends and a partner and a community who are affirming who you are. And you have to be the one to internalize that and, yeah, move that narrative forward. Yeah. And so, I mean, sometimes people are just like, it's so basic of, I can't even think, but like, I am strong, or I am kind.
Yeah.
And so when something, kindness may not even tie to this negative thought, and it's naming, this is not true, and this is what I know to be true, mm, about who I am.
Yeah.
And once we start looking and naming, this is not overnight work.
Yeah.
This is months and months and months and months. And I love when clients come back to session and say, I had this thing happen and I heard your voice in my head and this is how I responded. Because again, that has, I'm a part of their scaffolding and they're being reminded outside of session, like, what would JJ tell me about myself? What would she say to encourage me in this place? And then they're so excited that we have worked to process this negative self-talk, this negative self-view, this family history of dysfunction.
Yeah.
I love when clients are so excited to say, I did it different.
Right.
And I know I may not do it different every time.
Yeah.
And let's celebrate today that I did something different.
Yeah, for sure. The wins are big there. I have a couple of different ways I want to go, or questions I want to ask you. How hard is it? I'll start here. So the foundation of getting rid of negative self-talk, or, you know, reimagining negative self-talk, I guess, moving from a negative to positive, is grounding your identity in something positive. Mm-hmm. That's not always the easiest thing to do.
Well, I don't even know that it has to be positive.
Okay.
I think it could also just be something that's neutral.
Okay. Unpack that for,
well,
me.
I think, like, right, we like to put things as, this is good, this is bad. And sometimes there are just things that are.
Okay.
Like, it's not, we like to categorize things. And I think sometimes there's just more gray than we would like to acknowledge.
Yeah, fair.
And so I think even to say, like, I also am really mindful that I don't want to shift people to this toxic positivity of I am good and I am awesome, right? There's that.
Yeah. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me.
Yes.
The Stuart Smalley. Yes. Classic.
And so I think, right, there is this a caution, yeah, I guess, that maybe I should have led with,
yeah,
of it is not movement to toxic positivity and that you are actually perfect and that's the, like, what we're moving you toward.
Yeah.
We're moving you towards healthier and whole, which to me is different than perfect.
So maybe truth, like true things.
Yes.
As opposed to like perceptions.
Yes.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I had never even considered that toxic positivity could become a outgrowth of something like that. And that makes perfect sense.
And I think especially for women, it's kind of this, like, if you just rah-rah yourself enough, like, you're gonna lose that weight or feel more confident or be a better mom. And it's like, I do not want to perpetuate lies,
yeah,
for people, mm, or add to the expectation or negative self-talk that people are experiencing.
Yeah. I just want to go back. I think you kind of move through it pretty fast. Talk to yourself like a close friend would. That might be like an unlock. Like that kind of blew my mind, I guess, you know, because so often we don't talk to ourselves like that. So I just want to kind of like let that linger a little bit more. Like, how would a good friend talk to you, like, in this moment of shame? In this moment of weakness, like think about how a close friend would talk to you. And are you talking to yourself like that. I think that is like a really profound paradigm shift.
Yes. I also think even within this, like, that shame is a real feeling. And so not like, I feel like there's so much semantics today.
Yeah.
But like those feelings that you feel as part of that narrative are very real. And so I'm not saying don't acknowledge those feelings.
Yeah.
And how do you meet them with grace and kindness?
Yeah, right. That's a good, that goes back to a previous episode we talked about with, you know, that these things aren't necessarily a negative or a positive all the time. Some of these feelings, that what are they telling you about yourself and how you're approaching yourself like in a given moment?
Yes. And I think doing this reflective work, evaluating your own self-talk, can truly bring up very practical things to address in therapy.
Yeah.
The number of times that people have said, I would have not said I struggle with fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Until I started evaluating my self-talk, and I have now realized blank is actually pretty significant, yeah, in my life, and is the lens, you know, that I'm picking up and is coloring so much of my story, my experience, my, you know, all the things.
Yeah, that makes sense. And sort of a goal that I have with some of these podcasts is to like have really practical tools. So you just touched on it a little bit, because I think just saying go to therapy is great. And maybe there are practices that people can do that don't involve like going to therapy right now, or, you know, maybe can prepare you for therapy in some way. So what are some ways, practical tools to go about noticing that you can think of?
I mean, I think it's slowing enough to notice.
Okay.
I think anytime, or the next time you have a, maybe what you would call a misstep or a hard conversation with someone in your life, what is the story you are telling yourself about that exchange?
Okay. Yep.
Was it, oh my gosh, that was like a miscommunication, how do I circle back to Curry? Versus, what is wrong with me? I can never express myself. I'm not articulate or smart enough to say what I need. Of course, this is how it would, yeah, happen. And so, right, I don't think everyone has to go to therapy to address their negative self-talk. And having this practice of noticing may make you realize, oh, yeah, this is actually a thing for, right, me.
There's some serious, I need somebody to help me work through this and reflect it back and like,
yes,
really show me. Would you suggest journaling as like a possible way of kind of noticing or?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know, like, and maybe it would not just general journaling, yeah, but like, if you're curious as to like, does this impact me, having some sort of prompt, okay, of how do I view myself? If there is conflict, what type of narrative do I write?
Okay. Yeah.
That may be something that you just like sit with for a while.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, right, even that idea of sit with, right? We have that experience. You may be listening today. You're like driving in the car to pick up your kids. And it's like, huh, is this a thing for me? No. And move on about your day. And yeah, I think sometimes sitting with some of these questions or, you know, thoughts, is there more for me from this conversation?
It's good.
And not just our podcast. Are there, you know, is it from your own therapy? Is it from a conversation with a friend? Is it from a TED Talk you heard? Like, when something resonates with you, sitting with that about why did that resonate?
Yeah.
I joke a lot with you about how in session, my clients will be like, a couple weeks ago, you said, and I always hold my breath because I'm like, oh no, what right, did I say?
Yeah.
Because what is profound to my clients? Sometimes I like say something and I'm like, that was pretty profound. And they seem unfazed.
Yeah.
And then sometimes people will parrot things back to me that I said at some point, and I'm like, I don't even remember saying that. And something about that stuck with them. Right. That was the nugget from our session that they sat with and maybe journaled on or talked to someone else about, and brings that back. And so I think sometimes back to this idea that we are so fast paced and don't slow down, like, are you giving yourself space to notice what's impacting me?
Yeah.
What conversations, what TV show, what song is moving me? And what is it about that that moved me in a way?
Yeah. Being curious.
Being curious.
That's good. It's good stuff. Thanks for answering all my questions and talking through self-talk with me.
Of course. Thanks for bringing it to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode talking about how to address our negative self-talk. If you have thoughts or comments, I'd love to connect on social media. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Counseling With, or send me an email through my website at counselingwith.com.